What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Pound Town, baby.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Ryan Ugly is out. Luke Morrow is in. The Texans are they're off the practice field now, but they practiced this morning. Training camp, it's all coming to a head, man. They got a week. A week from today is final cut-down date. Everybody out there talking about how difficult it is. If you are an established player and you're going to make the team, boy, you better not get too close to some of them youngsters because they'll be up out of here, kind of like John Metchie was traded yesterday. D'Amico Ryan's talking about, which I believe this, by the way. I think Nick Caserio's got some thick skin when it comes to cutting guys. I think in a weird way, I think Nick probably enjoys it a little bit. D'Amico, I think, is a guy that it hurts his damn feelings to have some of the conversations that he has with these guys. But the Texans are at practice, and some of the news coming out of practice this morning, one of the big nuggets here is Cam Robinson, $12 to $14 million left tackle signed to replace Laremy Tunsil. I would have thought he would be a lock left tackle no matter what they did elsewhere. He has been injured for an extended period of time. He came back today and was on the practice field. Now, in his absence, again, it was an extended period of time, Arionte Ursary, the rookie that they drafted this year, rookie tackle that they drafted this year out of Minnesota, who was getting a lot of run at right tackle, he bumped over to left tackle, and he has impressed. He has impressed in Cam Robinson's absence. And so the thought was, when Cam Robinson comes back, what happens? Well, take it for what it's worth. They have been juggling the starting offensive line. But today, Arionte Ursary was with the ones at left tackle. Titus Howard stayed at right tackle with the ones. And then on the inside, you had Laken Tomlinson at left guard, Jake Andrews at center, and a competition is going on at that right guard position. It's Ed Ingram and Juice Scruggs. And now we know Juice Scruggs' value to me, guys, is the fact that he can play all three interior positions. You know, it's kind of like Titus Howard. I think Titus Howard is worth his contract at right tackle if they would leave him there. But the part of paying Titus Howard that makes me really comfortable is, well, Titus Howard can play left tackle, left guard, right tackle. So you've got a guy that literally can play, and he's proven he can go from right tackle to left guard, which it doesn't get any more difficult, right? You switch hands. You go from playing right-handed to left-handed. You go from outside to inside. I mean, it doesn't get any harder. Only thing you can do to make his career more difficult right now is ask him to play center, on a whim, right? So you've got some guys in there that the value is you can play multiple positions. Here's what I said coming into this, Luke. I think Ed Ingram holds the keys, if you will, to the Texans' ability to fix their O-line issues. And here's why. We've already seen it come to fruition to a certain degree, right? Because Juice Scruggs wasn't giving anybody any confidence this far in camp. I mean, is he a good depth player that can play multiple positions? Yes. I think they'd be uncomfortable as hell if they were having to rely on Juice Scruggs right now on either at either guard or center or the center position. I think they, for one reason or another, whether it's the physical technique mechanics that he lacks or it's the inability to communicate or whatever it was keeping him from playing center last year when it didn't seem like anybody wanted a job, right? I think this is an Ed Ingram conversation for me. If what we saw on Saturday night with Ed Ingram in a sense of bringing the physicality, literally appearing to be cut from the cloth of what D'Amico Ryans wants this offensive line unit to look like. If that is who Ed Ingram is, one, it's going to go a long way because, again, that's what the mentality that they want to overtake this offensive line room, no doubt about it, okay? But here's where the Ed Ingram part of this thing is significantly more important than we're giving it credit for. If Ed Ingram can play right guard, if he is your right guard, there's no if he can play your right guard with this, 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 and that happen. No, no. If Ed Ingram can prove that he is a right guard that you can go to battle with and you feel like you improve your overall offensive line with, the ripple effect is tremendous for the Houston Texans.
Yes!
Tytus Howard plays right tackle. The only way Tytus Howard plays right tackle is if somebody can prove that they can handle the right guard duties. If Ed Ingram can handle the right guard duties, then Tytus Howard can play right tackle. And guess what? If Tytus Howard can play right tackle, your second round tackle that you drafted this year that clearly embodies everything that D'Amico Ryans wants this offensive unit, their mindset to be, and has the ability to go out there and do it, Arionte Ursery, guess what that means? He can play left tackle. So guess what that means?
Versatility.
Well, there's some versatility there, but that means you got some decisions to make on whether you want to keep Cam Robinson around here, right? But let's say this. I don't know what's best or worst, to be honest with you, but the scenarios that you have, scenario A, Cam Robinson, $12 to $14 million is a swing tackle for you, or he's a backup tackle for you. And you got Trent Brown waiting if he ever decides he's going to play football and is healthy, right? And you got Blake Fisher, who played better last week and may be turning the corner. According to Nick Caserio, he's made some good progress in the last week, right? Or you've got Cam Robinson at left tackle and your rookie's not quite ready yet. He got beat a couple of times at practice on sacks, so he may not be ready. But he's not ready yet, and he can be your swing tackle, and you go Cam Robinson and Tytus Howard. The point is, my overall point in this, Luke, is that without that right guard position, Ed Ingram right now appears to be the one that is taking the bull by the horns there. Without somebody stepping up and proving they can play right guard, I don't know that any of this is possible. You're stuck in a position where Tytus has to play right guard. You're stuck in a position where Arionte Ursery or Blake Fisher have to play right tackle, and Cam Robinson has to stay healthy and has to be your left tackle, right? The Ed Ingram piece here, the right guard piece here, is absolutely paramount when it comes to having options, having flexibility, and literally being able to put your best, maybe your best tackle in Arionte Ursery at that left tackle position.
I'm with you. You took the words out of my mouth there at the end because I was going to say the alternative would be forcing Blake Fisher in there. Yeah. And I don't think people feel great about that idea right now. So Ed Ingram to me has been the biggest surprise on this offensive line, and maybe biggest surprise with this whole offense, because as I said yesterday or maybe last week, whenever, I grew up a Vikings fan, so I still watch them every week along with the Texans and the rest of the league. And I watched all of Ed Ingram. He was bad. I mean, there was a reason why they were moving on from him, a second-round pick, after just a couple years. He got benched last year for Dalton Risner coming off of a back injury, who had to change positions just to replace him. That's how desperate they were. And yet, he's looked really good to the point where, as you laid out, I mean, he's working his way into this starting lineup at the right guard, so much so that the Texans, at least for the time being, feel comfortable to slide Tytus Howard back to a tackle position and have a rookie starting at left tackle because that's their best iteration of this offensive line. He's been the biggest surprise. Maybe you'd say Andrews, but Andrews is still unproven in that he was injured last year, hasn't really been given an opportunity like he has now. We had seen Ingram as a starter, and he just couldn't cut it. So to see this growth, and maybe I'm overreacting to just training camp and preseason, but he looks vastly improved now than even a year ago when he lost his starting job. So not only is he the key, I'm with you, he's the linchpin, but I think he's just the biggest surprise, which has led to all of this. And then it would lead, for me, to not a very big surprise if Cam Robinson lost out on a spot and if they were to move on from him. I mean, there's a reason why he signed a one-year contract. We spent all offseason talking about the teams desperate for offensive line help. The Vikings remade their offensive line and moved on from him. The Bears didn't give him a sniff. You know, the Jaguars added some offensive linemen, didn't bring back Cam Robinson. Doug Marrone, his former coach in Cleveland, said no thanks. And he only signed a one-year contract, this guy who's, you know, been a veteran and a left tackle. So he was bottom 15 last year in sacks allowed and penalties for a tackle, similar to Laremy Tunsil with the penalties. But I just don't think Cam Robinson, I've been saying it all summer since they signed him, I don't think he's a good option to be your starting left tackle. I'd rather roll with Ursery and Tytus Howard at right tackle, and now at this point Ed Ingram at right guard. But I think this is the best version to this point that we've seen of this offensive line. And it doesn't include Cam Robinson. If you could get something for him before the start of the season, that'd be great. If you keep him for depth, you know, that could be good too, because obviously, as we know, you need a lot of offensive linemen typically to get through a season. But But yeah, I do agree with your overall point of Ed Ingram being that linchpin, and for me being the biggest surprise.
Yeah, look, I just Nick Caserio today talking about the having five tackles. We're not having that conversation if Ed Ingram,
right,
and Jake Andrews, that interior offensive line isn't playing better. So look, I don't know if the Ed Ingram thing is going to hold up. I have no clue. I don't know if second round Juice Scruggs is going to come to some development or some level where they can trust him to play that guard position. My point is simple. The right guard position is the key to being able to have all of this flexibility at the tackle position, mm-hmm. right? And clearly the priority is going to be Arionte Ursary, who has, again, the potential there. The other part of Arionte Ursary that's really, I mean, really fascinating to me is if D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caley can make him work at left tackle, and it may not be difficult. Hell, it may be easy. Maybe what we're watching. Now, again, he got beat a couple of times in practice today on pass rush stuff. Hopefully Nick Caley schematically can help that and keep that from being a major problem if he does end up being a left tackle. But what's at stake here for me, man, is if we're reading this thing right, and this kid starts at left tackle from jump, you not only have, when you end up having to pay C.J. Stroud $60 million a year, you've now got a left tackle for the next 4 years. I guess after you pay C.J., it'll be the next 3 years.
God bless, brother.
On a rookie contract. But more importantly, you've got the guy in the driver's seat, the player, because I think when you look at Cole Popovich, I think he's got control of that O-line mentality and room. I don't think he's a guy that's going to let the standard slip and kind of let guys fall by the wayside. But from a player perspective, you've got Arionte Ursary in there who now can take this bull by the horns, right? It's hard. I don't care how much of an alpha a guy is, especially at that position. I don't care how good he is, you know, potentially. We may say, oh, boy, this is our future left tackle. And or, boy, he's really wired the right way. It's just going to take some time for it to come out. Like, Arionte Ursary playing left tackle and playing a physical brand of it is going to put him in a position to where he can literally take over the offensive line room and the mentality in that room. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Again, going back to it, the overall point there is that right guard position is key. If they can't find a right guard, they're going to be strapped at tackle. Titus is going to have to go back. Ursary's going to have to go back to right tackle. Fisher's going to have to be at right tackle, whichever one of those can pan out. Cam Robinson's going to have to be your left tackle. We'll see what happens. I just think that is something fascinating. Keep an eye on it. And a time when we know they're going to have to fix the offensive line, to think that Ed Ingram could be the key to making it all make sense. And really, you go from having some – Luke, I'll be honest with you. You go from having some concerns. You know, if you got Titus at right guard, which I think he's a better guard than people give him credit for, right? But if I've got Titus at right guard and I've got Fisher or Arionte Ursary, a rookie that couldn't work out at left tackle, battling at that right tackle position, you got to be concerned about that.
Right? Yeah, yeah,
If this works out, I mean, I shouldn't say little. I guess you still got a little bit of concern inside with Lakin Tomlinson and Jake Andrews and Ed Ingram or Juice Scruggs, whoever it would be. Boy, but I just, for whatever reason, I feel a lot more comfortable with that lineup right there. Ed Ingram, all eyes are on you, my man.
Yeah, I think this is the best five right now that you compare on that offensive line. And again, don't want to overreact to preseason, but it looked pretty good. I mean, Blake Fisher was out there Saturday, but it looked a pretty good unit on Saturday, being able to get some push in the run game and allowing zero pressures in the passing game, at least according to Pro Football Focus. So the line looks good with this five. I also like the idea, as you mentioned with Titus Howard, I like the idea of just keeping guys where they are. I remember it was a similar conversation we were having at the start of the Astros, and it's like, well, why move this guy here if it's going to force another guy to move? It's easier to just keep people in their positions instead of making multiple moves, having to move two guys.
Yeah.
So I do like that idea of if Ed Ingram, who is a guard, can just be guard, and then Titus Howard can stay at a tackle, and you're not making all these different adjustments to guys on the offensive line. It's just simpler when you can keep them still in their same core position.
I'm with you 100% on that, Luke. I'll be honest with you. I struggle with the best five that we hear D'Amico and Nick talk about constantly. Like the thought of just, hey man, the best five offensive linemen, we're almost positionless. Like I mean, to me, I've always struggled with that terminology and that approach to offensive line. It's a lot easier for me, especially when you look at kind of how these guys are built. I mean, it's clearly tackles, 99.9% of the time, are built different than guards, right? And centers have a certain mentality. They can afford to be a little light in the ass as long as they can communicate. You know, that they're all different. So this best five thing and rotating everybody through, I've always struggled with. To your point of, man, one injury and all of a sudden you're moving two, three guys kind of deal, that's compounding the issue as well. I've never been comfortable with that. So that's a good point. Titus Howard at right tackle, and then let guards play guards, let center play center, yeah, and let's see how this thing works out. So we'll see. Keep an eye on this week, because I do think the right guard situation with Juice Scruggs and Ingram, those guys aren't getting the Will Anderson, C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins treatment. I would think that those guys are probably going to get some significant run in the joint practice as well, obviously, as in the Detroit game. We'll see Saturday. So that is going to be one, I think, storyline tied to starting football, the starting rotation offensively. That's going to be one watch this week. All right, we've got some teams that are coming out and naming their starting quarterback. Let's take a look at the starting quarterbacks in this division. The Indianapolis Colts have named a starting quarterback. Let's play a little, I'll tell you who that is, and we'll play a little Would You Rather next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
Here we go with Jones under center here for the New York Giants. We're on the move with the first down at the Houston 45-yard line. And Jones back to pass, guns it long down the left side, and caught inside the five. Good reception down to the 1 yard line. That's Darius Slayton with the catch, and Jones finally connects on a big play, first and goal at the one.
The voice of Vandy. Boy, he's good, man. That man got some pipes, don't he? Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones has been named the starter for week one for your Indianapolis Colts, ladies and gentlemen. He'll start week one. I believe it's against the Miami Dolphins. September the 7th is the regular season opener. The starting quarterbacks in the division now, obviously alongside C.J. Stroud, Daniel Jones for the Indianapolis Colts, Trevor Lawrence for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then Cam Ward with the Tennessee Titans. Nothing for Cam Ward?
Not yet. I'm sure something will come around. Oilers up in Nashville, I mean, always acting like asshats.
I mean, he is. I'm telling you, Cam Ward is that. Oh, you're looking for something that's fun.
Anything will work.
There was something from the beginning. The first time he talked to the media, I think he said something about going out there and slinging his S out of the ball or something like that.
Yeah, it was, I like that quote.
Yeah, he's good. He's a Texas kid, man. You can lean in.
When you got the Jaguars laying out things like Duval and you got the Colts laying out that Nay thing, it's hard to compete with, you know?
Fair. Very, very fair. But Daniel Jones is the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. Luke, is this something you saw coming? Is this something that you're okay with? Or is this one of those would you rather Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson be the starting quarterback?
Yeah, I did anticipate this because I think Daniel Jones is just much better than Anthony Richardson at this point. Richardson, of quarterback, since he's entered the league, I mean, he's dead last in accuracy and completion percentage. It's hard to be a starting quarterback in the NFL when you're completing half your passes. You know, it didn't work for Tim Tebow either. So, no, I think this is the right move. I worry in the sense from a Texans perspective. I mean, they were nearly a playoff team with Gardner Minshew 2 years ago, and I do think Daniel Jones does have some ability with the right coaching or the right system. So this certainly makes the Colts, in my opinion, could make them more dangerous. But, yeah, I think this is the way to go. It's hard to run Anthony Richardson back out there. Plus, he can't stay healthy. He was injured this offseason as well. I figured Daniel Jones would get the nod, and I think it is the good move, the right move, to start the year with him if you're the Colts.
Yeah, look, here's the thing is I think Shane Steichen was in a situation where he's on the verge of losing a team. I think that's where Anthony Richardson, the place where Anthony Richardson, we can soft shoe this and talk about Anthony Richardson hadn't had reps and Anthony Richardson this and Anthony Richardson that. Here's the reality of the situation. Shane Steichen is in a situation where he's got to win football games. And number two, he's in a situation where he can't afford his team, his receivers, his pass catchers to quit on him, right? And you've got a guy, Anthony Richardson, that, as you said, is injury prone. Anthony Richardson has quit on the team. And Anthony Richardson is not wide receiver friendly. In other words, wide receivers, might they catch one for 80 yards just thrown over the top? Yeah, maybe. But in scheme, on time, on schedule, when guys are running slant routes or drag routes and for sure completions, is the ball hitting them in a friendly place where they can catch and run? And the reality of it is that Anthony Richardson doesn't bring that to the table.
He can't play dead in a horror movie.
And when it's all said and done, Shane Steichen, if he runs Anthony Richardson out there again, just because Anthony Richardson was drafted early in the first round, then all of a sudden, you're telling your team that you're making a decision based on a draft pick instead of the guy that actually helps you win ball games, a guy that actually helps them, you know, make money ultimately. And now what's happened is you got a guy in there, and look, Daniel Jones didn't, I mean, he didn't hang the moon. I mean, at the end of the day, Daniel Jones has got his warts as well.
Mm-hmm.
But Daniel Jones, from what I'm hearing coming out of the Colts locker room, is Daniel Jones, he works extremely hard. You don't have to worry about him quitting on you. In terms of getting the ball out on time, in rhythm, things of that nature, throwing a catchable football that these guys can catch and run after the catch, he's doing those kind of things. And, look, I just think Shane Steichen's in a spot where he's got to win. He needs his team on board. I think Anthony Richardson still do. You saw it in the first preseason game, not identifying a very vanilla blitz and getting injured and turning the ball over at the same time. You know, those are things that even the players, I think, at some point get the feel for. So Daniel Jones being named the starter in Indy, it doesn't surprise me one bit. Look, I'm an Anthony Richardson fan. I would like to see him have turned the corner and been able to either, one, stay healthy and play that brand of football, that more physical Josh Allen brand of football, or develop and be better from the pocket. And just neither has happened. So Daniel Jones, I'll be honest with you, as a Texans fan, Daniel Jones scares me. Daniel Jones scares me more than Anthony Richardson does. If we're just talking about one drive, one play, then yeah, Anthony scares the hell out of him because mm-hmm. he can hit his head on the goalpost with his arm or his legs. But playing him two games in the season, eight quarters worth of football, Daniel Jones concerns me more, significantly more, if I'm being honest, than Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Daniel Jones, he's won a playoff game before, at least, on the road nonetheless, where Anthony Richardson's just trying to – we saw him come in here last year and go 10 of 32 throwing the football. So, for sure. I mean, the Colts almost won the division, like I said, with Gardner Minshew. And Daniel Jones, I think, could have a higher ceiling than Minshew in that same system. And to your point – with the Colts, I mean, with the ownership change because of the passing, unfortunately, of Jim Irsay, you know, you never know how that impacts things, too, of with his daughters taking over. Maybe they're not Shane Steichen people, or they're not Anthony Richardson or Chris Ballard, the GM. I think anytime you have the ownership change, even though it's within the family, everyone suddenly, their seat gets a little hotter because when a new boss comes in, they usually want to make their own decisions or bring in their own people. So, you know, if Jim Irsay was still there, would Anthony Richardson be starting week one? Maybe, but now everyone's... you're a little tighter walking around that facility knowing your job's probably a little more on the line, and Daniel Jones certainly gives you the better opportunity to win.
Them daughters walked in there, and they're putting their foot down, huh?
Maybe.
They're putting their
you
foot
down.
You never know. CJ Stroud, Daniel Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Cam Ward are your four in-division quarterbacks. Tyler, which one scares you the most? Not CJ Stroud. We don't have to play against him. The three quarterbacks.
I mean, if honest to God, right now I was just thinking of this, Clint. I was going to ask you particularly your thoughts on old Sunshine over there in Duval, and we'll get to that. But, man, I think I go with the rookie. I really do right now. And part of that being the sense of unknown with Cam and the Titans, and you just never know what you're going to get in a rookie. I mean, we saw it here with C.J. Stroud, rookie of the year. But I think I got to go with the quarterback in Tennessee right now.
I like Cam a lot. Don't get me wrong. I like Cam a lot. I'm a bigger believer in Daniel Jones. Just surviving the New York crap is admirable in itself. I've got to go with Trevor Lawrence right now, T. I mean, look, I see and sense everything you're talking about there. Now, my confidence level in Trevor Lawrence is not through the roof. But Just talent alone, experience alone. You're talking about another guy that has weathered some crazy, crazy situations.
That's true.
In that organization. I would still go with Trevor Lawrence, but I really do like Cam Ward, and I think he is going to have an absolute killer season. I don't know that he's going to flirt with a C.J. Stroud type rookie year or a what's my man in Washington?
Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels type of year, but I do think he's going to have a hell of a year. We'll see. C.J. Stroud, Daniel Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Cam Ward. If you're just tuning in, the news is Daniel Jones has been named the starter in Indy. Shane Steichen and the Colts decided to go with Daniel Jones over what was AR-15? Was he fourth overall pick? Third or fourth overall pick? Anyway, former
somewhere
first round.
There. All
first
I know round, is he could hit the roof with that ball, man. It was wild.
He can spin it. There ain't no doubt. And just don't know, not real sure where it's going half the time.
But fourth
overall. That's right. Fourth overall pick. Daniel Jones is the guy. All right. Today, the Texans did practice today. And one thing I love is after practice, the coaches, players, head coach, coordinators, they all speak at one time or another. Well, we heard from one of the most interesting guys over there, fascinating guys over there, Nick Caley, the offensive coordinator. He spoke today after practice. We will have Nick Caley, Texans offensive coordinator. We will have him in full next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Luke Morrow is in. Tyler Milner's on the ones and twos behind the glass. You listen to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. I have confirmed. I have confirmed, y'all. Don't stand up and clap or anything. But the Hughleys, Ron and Courtney Hughley, they have landed in Atlanta. They are no longer in the land of hurricanes.
Is that my boy Ron?
Yeah. He's in Atlanta. Trying to get on a 6 o'clock flight to Houston, baby. So it's looking up. They're out of harm's way, out of the hurricane harm's way. They're in Atlanta, and it looks like they're gonna get them on a flight to Houston before midnight. It was planned, by the way, they're gonna get here at like midnight. You know, 6 o'clock flight in Atlanta. That's like 5 o'clock here, ain't it? Atlanta's East Coast, right?
Yeah.
That's like 5 o'clock here. Hell, you'll be back. You'll be in Houston by 7, 8 o'clock, man. You'll be able to get you a nice little bite to eat if you want. We're going home and we're leaving the in-laws. You think Ron will stop and get him a nice grub and a nice drink before he relieves them in-laws? You think they're going to get on home and get them kids?
As long as he's ready for Monday's weigh-in.
I was going to say, you going to make him weigh-in tomorrow or are you waiting till Monday?
That'd be
hateful. We'll wait on Monday. Okay. It sounds like he's been a bit stressed.
That's fair. That's fair. He's been, no, ain't no doubt about it. He's been stressed. There is no doubt about that.
The showman.
All right, we've got, that's Ron, the show, the Hughley update. Good to hear that they're safe. We've got Astros updates as well. We got some good news on the Astros front. But before the Texans, they practiced today. Big, big week for the Texans in preparation for the 2025 season and training camp. This is a big week for them. Next Tuesday is cut down date. Got a joint practice with the Detroit Lions. Got a preseason game with the Detroit Lions. And it'll be here pretty quick. It'll be time to cut this roster down and get right and just ride with the guys that make the squad. The offensive coordinator, Nick Caley, Texans' new offensive coordinator, he spoke today after practice. Here is Nick Caley in full.
Made a decision where you're going to call games during the regular season?
Yeah, I'll be down on the field. Feel good about it. Feel good about both, but I'll be down on the field moving forward.
Bill Lamar's bring the juice to the game from upstairs?
No. No, communication's good either way. I just like, you know, I like to be able to look guys in the eyes and be able to walk over immediately and talk to guys, make adjustments with the coaches, and be able to look guys in the eyes when I communicate with them. Just a little bit more efficient, and, you know, I can cut a few steps out that way.
Coach, what was your assessment about seeing your offense, your play calling with the starters on Saturday?
Yeah, no, I thought they went out and competed. They tried to do exactly what we wanted to do. You know, I thought we were fairly efficient, physical, took care of the football, protected well. I was happy with that. I think it's something to build off of, and we just got to keep moving it from here.
When it comes to the offensive line, physicality be kind of like an equalizer between the two groups?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think look, I don't believe in being anything other than the most physical team we can possibly be. I think it allows you to control the line of scrimmage. It carves out, actually takes a 2 or 3 yard gain in the run game to a 4, 5, or 6 yard gain. It wears on people in the fourth quarter, and it's a matter of mental and physical conditioning for us just to continue to push through that. But yeah, I believe in a physical football team, and I think our guys have answered the bell, and they're working to be the most physical version of themselves every single day.
How much will the work this week heading into the Judge practice, into the final preseason game, help solidify that offensive line, you know, who's going to start and who's going to be back?
I think every rep counts, to your point. So, you know, there's not one practice I don't think that's any more important than the others. I think it's a cumulative effect, and it all counts for something. So we'll watch this film like we have every other practice, and we'll assess it from there. But, yeah, it all counts.
How do you like Nick? I mean, Nick Chubb has grown over time.
Yeah, I mean, he's as consistent of a human being in terms of his approach. And I feel like he's continuing to get better and better and better. And we only had him for a short time in the spring. We got him here in training camp, and he's continued to grow every single day that he's been out here. He's a really patient runner, has a good feel for pressing landmarks and tracks, and he's just got a really good instinct about running the football.
Is it important for Damian to get in-game action before you trust him in a game in your system?
Yeah, I would say this. Damian's played a good amount of football. He's a physical, violent runner. You get to see him out here. It's not like this is an unknown commodity. So whatever we feel is best for the reps, that'll be it. But, you know, I've watched Damian. I've had an appreciation for him for a while. And, you know, I think he wants to go out there and just be at his best every single day. And I'm excited to get him back out here with us.
What goes into, from an OC perspective, kind of filling out the running back position and going by committee or by hot hand? Is that just something that happens in game? You go into a game saying, we want this guy to do this and that guy to do that?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have a very versatile group of guys as it is right now, as you guys can see. So I think that's a week-to-week deal, a field deal. But we have a lot of trust in whoever's out there. I think you see with that group, they've all, you know, they've taken care of the football in their opportunities. They've been stout in blitz pickup. I've been very impressed with that group in terms of how they fit the window, get pads under pads, protect inside out. The things, the core axioms that we're asking, they've showcased. And I think that, you know, they understand the intent of what we're doing. So I've been happy with all of them.
Taking it back to your former profession as a tight end coach, what did you see in Harrison Bryant that, you know, made you all want to go out and get him? What did you see from after meeting him and talking to him?
Yeah, I mean, well, Harrison's smart. He's a savvy player. I actually, not dissimilar to Aziz, I was at Florida Atlantic and Chris Hurd had recruited him on our staff down there. I had left, never got a chance to coach him on that staff. And I was on defense at the time. But so I've kind of known about Harrison for a while, appreciated his game. He's a savvy player. Everybody you talk to talks about the work ethic, you know, the intangibles. And you know, he's had production in the league. So he's got some experience, and he's versatile. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. Been here a couple days and keep on evaluating him.
What's your relationship like with Yahya Johnson stepping back to the New England days? How can he kind of help us out?
Yeah, I mean, he's as hard of a working human being as I've ever been around. He studies. He cares. He's got all the traits that you covet. In terms of toughness, being an unselfish human being, he's strong, he's tough, he's a great teammate. And I think that, you know, you can't put a premium on guys like that. So I have a lot of respect for him. I obviously have history for him, but he's blended in very, very well since he's been here with Jake's group. And, you know, he's a very versatile guy. We play all those guys, that, whether it's Y or F, they all are interchangeable, and I'm happy he's here with us.
What have you liked about Jake Andrews also?
Tough and gritty, loves football, works at it, you know, always up in the office watching tape. And he's a ball guy, so, you know, been happy with that.
That's Nick Caley, Texans offensive coordinator, in full. It's quick. He talks fast. Got that juice. A couple things that I can take away from that right now. One is Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce was back on the practice field today. We'll talk a little bit more about that in depth moving forward and with our Texans practice report. But Damian Pierce back at practice. Look, I think whether, and I don't know, I do not know the fate of Damian Pierce. I have no idea what the future holds. I don't know if he is playing to put film out there so that they can potentially trade him. I don't know if he's tradable. I don't know if this is a guy that doesn't make the team and he ends up signing with somebody, or if, given Joe Mixon's situation, this is a guy that they feel like that they absolutely have to have on the roster in Joe Mixon's absence. Again, given that we've already seen Nick Chubb miss time in training camp. I'd be honest with you, I have no idea how they're going to play their cards at the depth running back position. I think if you look at Jawar Jordan, I think they really like him. I know they like Dari Agumbawale. They're extremely comfortable with playing Dari Agumbawale. You know, there's obviously Woody Marks is coming. I really like Woody Marks and what he brings to the table, but I am aware that he is a rookie, and a lot of times, you know, you get enthralled with the abilities, the skills, the youth, and then you realize, man, there's a lot more to the game at that position than just being able to tote the rock and catch the rock. And so I don't know where he stands, but bottom line is this is a very, 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 very important week for Dameon Pierce. He is back on the practice field again, had a couple of runs today. I believe he had a catch as well out of the backfield, a little check down. The another thing, I think number two for me, Nick Caley saying he is going to be on the sideline, not in the booth. You know, I never thought about it this way until I just heard whoever was asking that question, their follow-up question or remarks about his juice and the vibe and the energy, right? All that we've heard about Nick Caley, the most consistent and the most passionate opinions are all about energy and vibe and juice and all this. It would have been crying shame if you'd locked that guy up in the press box.
It's true.
That guy's got to be on the sideline, man.
That's a great point. I hadn't thought about that at all.
If it's that important and if it's that big of a deal and that big of a part of what he is, he's got to be on the sideline. But I agree with him overall. All joking aside, like the ability to walk over, particularly CJ, I'm sure he's talking to anybody. I think the value of him on the sideline is he can go over and correct the tight ends and work with the tight ends as well as obviously,
Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, obviously manages staff, but I think it's a CJ play, man. I couldn't imagine calling plays for a guy and not being able to look that guy in the eye and that guy go like, hey coach, man, I don't like that play. Man, stay away from that one. Or me be able to see, like, in the moment, is he overwhelmed? Does he need me to settle things down a little bit for him? Is he ready to be all gas, no brakes? What are his emotions like? I couldn't imagine calling plays and not having personally that experience and relying on somebody else to give that to me. Number three, I think there was two different answers there on the new tight end, Harrison Bryant. I think he's got some experience there with him in the past and seems to be pretty high on Harrison Bryant's ability to come in here and fit in, be interchangeable at that tight end position for the Texans. So that's a big move there. And then lastly, the emphasis on the physicality of the offensive line. Boy, he laid that out there. He said that a few times, hadn't he?
Yeah.
He laid that out there nicely.
I think that's a big thing, though, after what happened with this offense last year, and now D'Amico Ryan's maybe taking more ownership of the offense and wanting it to be more of his style or what he expects. You obviously, with that hire, make sure that you bring in a guy that is going to fit that profile. So I'm sure Nick Caley has the same thought process as D'Amico and loves that physicality from his offense and hopes to see it. Yeah, for me, I mean, Dameon Pierce agreed was the big one. I think Thursday, that joint practice with the Lions, which is a good defense and a physical defense, physical team, I think that will be a huge day for Dameon Pierce. I've made it very clear many times I am a Dameon Pierce guy. I hope he still makes it onto the roster, and I do expect that he will. But this is a big opportunity for him this week to actually be out there and try to showcase what he can still bring to the table because he just hasn't had the ability to do so. I mean, yeah. Lopez said earlier today, you can't make the club in the tub, and that's, you know, Dameon Pierce has just not been out there. So it'll be good to actually see him get some run this week with the guys against somebody other than, you know, fellow Texans.
Yeah, it will. You know, if they didn't feel so strongly about Dari Agumbawale, then I could see probably, like, I could lean into Dameon Pierce 100% being on this roster. Like, I'm having a hard time reading the team. Like
they do love Dari.
Bro, but I mean, think about the dynamic early in camp. Like, one, you're early in camp. You're 5+ weeks away from a game, right? Your top two running backs are out. Or like Joe Mixon is out and Chubb is really trying to learn the offense. And he's a veteran, proven guy. Like, that seems to be a scenario where you get Woody Marks, who you just drafted, Jawar Jordan. You get these young guys and see which one can really play this position, which one can retain and apply an offense. Like, which one of these? But instead, they're throwing Dari Agumbawale out there getting the bulk of the work. Like, that is an interesting dynamic to me that I think changes the Dameon Pierce thing. Do they know that Joe Mixon, yeah, he's injured right now. It's a little bit more serious than we thought, but he's going to be fine. It's going to take a little bit longer. And they're potentially willing to go Nick Chubb, Dari Agumbawale, Woody Marks kind of rotation. Or is the Joe Mixon thing significantly worse than they thought? They don't want to use Dare Ogunbowale in that role. And Dameon Pierce is a lock to be the. I don't know. I have no idea.
I love Joe.
I have
Mixon.
No idea. I think they can sit in a coach's room, lock the door, and justify going either direction. I really do. I believe that.
Yeah, I think the Mixon thing obviously plays a big role. And assuming he's not going to be available for a while, then that makes it easier to keep Dameon Pierce, and he'd be one of the four running backs. But I also think that depth is important at the running back position, and they'll have a few guys on practice squad, of course. But because you're relying on two running backs who are almost 30 and both dealing with injuries here in the last 12 months, and if one of them were to go down, or God forbid both, I think Dameon Pierce is the one that slots in the easiest compared to Woody Marks, who is a rookie and has some things to figure out, and Dare, who's more of that specialty back than maybe a true starting running back. So I think that's where the benefit of having a Dameon Pierce could come into play if you ever find that scenario. But just having that depth in case there are more injuries for Mixon or Chubb throughout this year, because Mixon's already dealing with something. Chubb's coming back from an injury. Both are a little bit older, and we'll see if they can make it through the entire year.
That's Luke Morrow. He is in for Ron the Show Ugly. We got updates. We got big-time updates on the Astros, and I don't know. You may like them. You may not. We got those updates, and I'm telling you, the matchup tonight on the bump for the Astros and the Tigers, it is it's made for TV, y'all. We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 610.